Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckanize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, all right, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneckanize. This is Redneckanize Radio, all things trucking and then some. Hey, we come to you live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. So, hey, we're going to dive right into a lot of things going on today. So there was an article that got released that Omnitrax released driver-facing cameras to use artificial intelligence to detect distracted driving like smoking and wearing glasses. We'll dive into that a little bit. And then it says here that it says Governor of Connecticut says it's okay if the truckers bypass Connecticut to avoid paying the high taxes. That's fine. And do a little of that too. And then also in the news, it came out that agriculture is getting a perfect storm where the production is being increased and drivers are having a hard time. They're having a hard time finding drivers, and then capacity issues and everything. So there's a little article in the trucker.com about that. So we'll dive into that too. And all that's great stuff. And plus we'll take a lot of phone calls here tonight. And just want to give everybody a special shout out today and hope you're out there doing good, staying successful and being safe. One of the great sponsors that we had that we've just picked up here recently in sponsoring this radio show, sponsoring our events at the truck shows, and that's the Trucker Tools app, truckertools.com. You can check those guys out. Download their app, check them out, and use the app. You can find, you know, truck stops, maintenance facilities, book freight, track freight, all kinds of good stuff like that. So you can always update your information on there to let them know that you like using it, not using it. They're always trying to make it better for you. So check them out, download their app, give them a review, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Nice because we appreciate them. And we're going to get all to that stuff there and everything. So just get right to it. And everybody, just like I said, stay safe. And we're going to be catching things up here and see how things go. Let's see.
Packing up, loading up my old truck, roll down that road. Your picture on the dashboard, thinking about how long I'll be before I get home. Well, I set my visor for the sunrise as it burns into my eyes, and the thought of you starts burning on my mind. I'm rolling. Rolling down this interstate, trying to get back to you, that's why I'm rolling. It's hard work and I guarantee that it's a damn hard life, but still I'm rolling. From the first time that I shifted gears, it burned into my soul. Guess you could say that's how I like to roll. Well, I'm rolling. Yellow lines and white lines go forever, any driver knows that's true. There's a road map in my mind, somehow I find it always leads me back to you. If the wind blows in my favor and I cross by more state lines, well, I'll hold you in my arms tomorrow night. I'm rolling. Rolling down this interstate, trying to get back to you, that's why I'm rolling. It's hard work and I guarantee that
good deal, good deal. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're just all excited here about, you know, trying to get back to normal. I think everything's trying to finally get in there. You know, California announced that they were going to get back to it on June 15th. So, you know, hey, that's just here this week. So we'll see how things go. You know, I don't know if them people will freak out and start melting in the streets or whatever as soon as everything starts, you know, the restrictions start getting lifted. So let's hope those guys stay safe out there and they don't try to kill each other when things go back to normal for them out there. You know, everybody else is pretty much back to normal around here. You know, swimming pools are full, beaches are full. Everybody's going camping out to the river and everything. So, you know, all kinds of new viruses can enter our system there when we're out there messing around with Mother Nature. So let's get back to it. Let's see who we got on the line here. Check things out. What's going on, my friend?
What's going on, Ed?
Man, I tell you what, just trying to get to it. Got a busy weekend this weekend. I had to do a little trucking more this weekend than normal, so I kind of just fell behind on the truck show a little, or on the radio show a little bit. Just had to get things caught up here.
Oh yeah, we're doing some trucking today ourselves. We're up here in Illinois. I tell you, it's been one of those weeks. I just had 1,000 mile. 4 days to do it, so it takes me 4 days.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know how it is. You know, if I had 24 hours to do it, I'd be done. But if I got 4 days to do it, buddy, it takes me 4 days.
I know. It's so funny like that. I get going down the road, and it says, you can drop it at any time between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get there at 6 a.m. You know that? And then it's like, nah, I'll go ahead and just take a little break. And I'll get there by 6 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a week here. How you been, brother?
Man, I tell you what, I've been doing all right. You know, staying busy, getting back to normal, having a great time out there. We're I'm just kind of lining things out here, getting things going. You know, just learning more stuff on the computer, and you know, finding out what's going on out there in the world. I pretty much stick to the world of entertainment and try to see what's going on out there with those. New movies. I like going to the movies. So, you know, been hooking up with some friends out here, going to the movie theater, and they're still not back to normal. They don't sell out all the seats, and you got to wear a mask when you go in there and everything. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I've noticed that I don't really see a whole lot of people wearing masks.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's been pretty open everywhere I've been. I read an article, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, with that dumbass up there in Connecticut. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought I'd live to see the day that I would agree with the ATA, but they actually commented on it, and it was pretty brilliant. They tweeted, somebody was bitching about the trucks in Connecticut, and ATA tweeted, said, quit buying stuff.
Yep, that's it. In fact, that was when they raised the big the tax out there to drive big trucks through there. The governor said he's okay with it, and he said, you know, and of course that's the thing is that, okay. Well then we'll just now the thing it is though is that what's going to happen is what we'll see is that the freight going in to Connecticut or coming out of Connecticut is going to be higher priced, so it's going to cost more. Because if the drivers are smart, which not a lot of them are, which that's probably why nothing will change, but they'll say, hey, if you want me to go to Connecticut, then you're going to have to pay me more money and everything, and of course they'll have to pay more, and then of course, like you say, and people stop buying stuff, then they'll have to do something. But if drivers just start driving around Connecticut, which
that's what I
really think. Yeah, you know it ain't that big of a deal. And that way, if you have to stop and take a break or spend some money, your money being spent as a truck driver, you're not spending it in Connecticut, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't realize when truck drivers, you know, I always thought it was a big deal. Maybe even truck drivers that live in Connecticut might move out of Connecticut because they that way they won't do it. And I always thought that being it's kind of like being able to park your truck at your house, that the city's should do more to accommodate that, because having a truck driver living in your town, a small town, that benefits you, because all that money that driver's earning doesn't come from, you know, nobody has to spend money in that little town to provide that truck driver with income, you know, so that's outside income.
Yeah.
That's like having a government job, really, you know.
Yeah, bringing the money back into your local economy.
Exactly, exactly. So that's
because they were bitching about it, and the ATA came in there and said, quit buying stuff. And this other dummy, I mean, this is their mindset. He's like, they tweeted underneath the ATA saying, no, we don't buy nothing off a truck. We buy our stuff at a store. You can't be that.
Yeah.
you're stupid.
That's like them vegetarians or the animal rights people saying, wish people quit going hunting and buy their meat at the grocery store like everybody else.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you have to just sit back and just say, you know, are they really that stupid? They can't be, man. I mean, there's no way that somebody could be that stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, people are out there. It's, I mean, just like common sense, we talk about it all the time about, you know, not having high beam lights going down the highway and, you know, shining up in people's eyes, not having a car in working condition. You think, well, the government shouldn't be forcing people to get inspections, but people will drive out there with crappy cars, you know, and everything. So why, you know, we have to have that stuff just so people aren't out there doing stupid stuff, because people do stupid stuff. That's what they do.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I was going to give a shout-out. I'll give a big shout-out, big word of thanks to your guys over there at Trucker Tools. Awesome app. If anybody's listening, that they don't have that app, get it downloaded, man. It's a great app for the truck driver or even the RVer or just anybody that's just driving.
Yeah, that, you know, travels. You know,
great app. And big shout-out to Hattie Jane over at DPF Regenerations, man. What a great woman. What a woman. Strong, independent businesswoman. Unfortunately, she's up there in Connecticut. But she's always looking out for the truck driver.
Yeah.
You know, she just does so much for the community, for the trucking community.
Yeah, DPF Regeneration has been with us since the get-go. You know, they set up a booth in there, and of course what they did was is anybody that was kind of like online talking about trucking, they were like, hey, come visit us, come see us, and so everybody was, it was like a good community that kind of got started there, and you know, we've all been friends ever since, and it was all because of DPF Regeneration, and then we were like, well, we're out here in the parking lot, you know, serving dinner and all that. Like, what are you guys doing out there? Let us know. We'll come see you. And they came see us, and they liked it. And they said, here, we want to help. Here, do all this. Here. You know, if you need something, here, let us know. All this. I said, oh, man, that's awesome. So, yeah, it was great. And
heck yeah.
And then, of course, that's the thing is that we strive to do better for them, you know, to make sure that they get what they pay for. You know, that truck drivers are provided a good service when they come to the truck show, and they're – one of the sponsors is DPF, so we try to do a good job. That way DPF looks good. So there you go.
Yeah, great companies, man. Great companies. Big shout out to Minimizer. That's one of my sponsors.
There you go.
They're outstanding, amazing folks.
Yeah, like I said last week, I tell you what, I'm really excited coming up for this next year, coming up toward the truck shows when everything gets back to full scale normal for the truck shows. You know, even this year, we got a few small ones that we might try to make, whatever, and look at these other sponsors. And now that we've got the YouTube channel growing and the website's doing good, and of course, the radio show, we're hoping that everything goes good. And these sponsors are like, hey, we want a piece of that action. So that's what we're hoping for.
Heck yeah. Well, I got Lee Owens is going to join us here in a little bit, talk a little bit about the truck show in Searcy, Arkansas.
Yeah, there you go.
Hopefully we can get redneckinized out there. But it's going to be a pretty good, pretty nice event. Got some music entertainment out there. We got Bill Weaver coming out. David Lynn Michaels coming out. I'll be out there, and we got It's got all kinds of, got some show truck categories. I'll let Lee indulge us on all that stuff, but it's going to be a great time. And I mean, I'm stoked about it, dude, to be honest with you.
That's
awesome. It's been so long since we've been to a truck show, man.
I know. It's a big withdrawal thing, man. I tell you what, I got to tap the vein every time somebody starts talking about the show because I'm like getting itchy, you know. I got start my neck starts itching and my mouth starts foaming up and I'm like, you're talking truck show,
yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
I got, let me tell you, I got my wife sending you a package, and I apologize,
oh, yeah.
But it slipped my mind, and I finally told her tonight. Reminded her, well, I can't say I reminded her because this is the first time I told her. But she's
got
you a package coming.
That's awesome. No, that's awesome. Yeah, we're like, yeah. I said, I've been sitting here. You know, it's kind of hard during the week because you know you got so many things going on and everything. But I sit down here and I try to plan everything out and try to make sure that everything's plugged in and working good. I still have bugs in that because I'm trying to record video and get good audio, and you know, and it's amazing that you think, oh, just plug it in and go, man. No, it ain't that simple. It ain't that simple at all.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah.
I understand that fully. So what's in the headlines this week?
Man,
what
I tell you what.
Headlines this week that you...
Well, that was the one thing was that governor, you know, talking crazy and I was looking over here about this thing. I tell you what, it was really, really caught my eye. And the picture on it here says a lot of things, and it's on CDLLife.com. Omnitrax releases a driver-facing camera technology that uses artificial intelligence to detect smoking, wearing glasses. And I was like, what in the hell are they doing? And they've got a picture of it, and it, you know, they zoom in right on the drivers, like they get you from like your armpits up, and they can see everything going on. And it says the trucking tech provider Omnitrax debuted a new driver-facing camera system that can reportedly use machine learning and artificial intelligence to detect multiple distracted driving behaviors while a truck driver is behind the wheel. And then it says on June 10th, Omnitrax announced the debut of a smart sense for interactive driving, which uses integrated cab-facing cameras and sensors, employ AI and computer vision to detect suspected sleep, drowsiness, cell phone usage, smoking, general inattention, alerting drivers to take action and avoid a collision, avoiding to a news release from the company. So according to the news release of the company says that the distracted driving AI is developed using 300 million analyzed driving safety events and more than 30 billion driving miles across the transportation.
That
it goes on and on about this. And, you know, and I'm like, well, what's going to happen is that the companies are going to, you know, pay Omnitrax to get it installed. Drivers are going to learn about it, and then they're going to start looking for other companies. That's what's going to happen. Some companies were going with driver facing cameras, and guess what? Drivers quit. Drivers said, nope, I ain't doing it. Don't, you know?
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Right.
I could do it.
Well, to me, it's just like everything else. I mean, so if my big 40-ounce cup that I put in front of my face to take a drink, you know, you're gonna consider that, you know, distracted driving every time I take a drink of water or something? Because it's a big cup. So to that artificial intelligence, it might think that cup is blocking my whole face is what it might think, you know? And stuff like that, you know, and just like, of course, my thing is always snacking going down the road. And, you know, that's always a big thing for me. That keeps me attention. That always keeps me in the attention span. You know, you start staring at the road and that's just that gets boring. So, yeah, you know, and I don't know, just stuff like that. Everybody has their quirks and ticks. I don't know. That's why some drivers, they get weeded out because they can't do stuff. You know, if you can't go down the road and, you know, have your meal there going down the road, take a drink going down the road, talk on the cell phone, you know, hands free, of course. If you get distracted by having a conversation with somebody while going down the road, you probably shouldn't be out there on the road anyway. So, you know, because that's just the way things go. That's just how business gets done. You know, owner operators out there will tell you they're never not on the phone, because as an owner operator, you always talking on the phone with somebody, mechanic, dispatcher, customer, somebody. So, yeah.
Other drivers to stay awake.
Right. You know, yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing, too, cell phone use. I mean, you know, we always try to do hands-free. We all want to do that, and we have the phone attached to the dash or attached to somehow where all we got to do is hit a button, you know, one or two to hit the next call or whatever, so we can keep talking to friends and family out there, stay in contact. So, you know, drivers do that. They always try to make that stuff happen. I think it's so funny to me. I've spent probably just as many hours – well, probably not that many, but a lot of hours sitting in the truck stop messing with something on the dash or on the windshield or something so that I don't have to mess with it. You know, that way I'm always like making sure that mounting bracket is tightened and adjusted just right, making sure the cup holder is in the right position, making sure that the cups are, you know, with the lids and the straws and everything is just fine before going down the road. And you know, so I don't understand how, you know, that all that stuff comes into play when they got the camera facing in my face, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know how it's going to work. Yep. So they released that out. They said it'll be available this summer. The new technology, it says, the OmniTrack CTO Ray Ghambari. He says inattention is a pandemic and one that has become increasingly worse. The Smart Sense for Interactive Driving Plus addresses this problem head on using advanced technologies and analytics to keep our drivers safe and help all of us get home safely. And then they've got a video explaining how it works and everything. But according to this here, it doesn't, the link is messed up. So I tried to refresh it a few times and it won't pop up. So maybe they took it down. I don't know.
That's a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, speaking of a bunch of bullshit, we got a caller here, Mr. Greg Spencer. What's going on, Greg?
Now, who that?
Damn.
How's that for a radio show?
Yeah.
Well, there's three of us or anybody else.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of them things, you know, where you can just do all you can, just, you know, hey, shoot for the hit, you know, shoot from the hip and let's see what happens. And every now and then you might hit something head on, but sometimes it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah, there's no way I don't know. I just feel like it's an invasion of my privacy, you know?
Well, yeah, that whole looking, I mean, you know, I mean, just think about all those owner-operators like Greg that are leased to a carrier, and the carrier's like, yeah, we're going to install these cameras in your truck. Yeah, the hell you will.
Yeah, that ain't
happening. No, not my truck.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, definitely not my truck.
I'll be in early retirement real quick.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, like I said, it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. I mean, they tried it before with just regular cameras. I don't know what they did. They had the technology where they took a device that had a dash camera facing in and a dash. And, of course, you see it all the time now. The school buses have cameras and everything, and they've got a camera on the driver and a camera on the passengers and everything. But I always thought that was more – I mean, I guess they pick up a lot of, like, what the driver is doing in before a crash and everything, but I always thought that was because you were interacting with the public, that the camera needed to be kind of on you to protect you or to protect the public because there's a lot of interacting going on. So I always thought that was important to do that. But, you know, you work for the government. You know, if you drive a city bus or drive a school bus, you're working for the government. So, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to keep a hold on you like that. But yeah, when the drivers tried doing it, when the trucking companies tried to put those cameras in the trucks, the drivers just said, no, I'm going to work somewhere else. And that's what happened, you know. So I'll tell you this funny story. We had some trainers back in the day, back around when I was working as a training coordinator in at Swift. We had some trainers that took webcams because this was in the 90s. and dash cams weren't even that available. So they took webcams and ran wires all around their truck because they were training and they wanted to be mm-hmm. able to train students. And so they took webcams, like two webcams, and put them on the dashes, like down and watched the speedometer. Like one guy had a camera stuck on the column of the steering column facing the speedometer so that he can see the speedometer from mm-hmm. the bunk so he'll know whether or not the driver was driving too fast or too slow or whatever like that. And I mean, I'm like, when we first saw it, we were like, you know, hey, you know, you got to take all that down. Don't do that. And then the safety guy came down and says, you see anybody out there doing that, you tell them to clean their truck out. I said, all right. You know, because what we found out was a lot of them, what they were doing was they were only using those cameras because they had female students. So they were being perverts is what they were doing. So, you know, and that's the other thing, you know, I mean, I don't know about the female drivers out there, but, you know, sometimes when I'm going down the road, you know, you kind of have to adjust a little bit every now and then. So I don't know what them lady truckers do, but I know that every now and then I've got to wiggle around to get things put back in the right spot. And I just can't sit there. So, you know,
I guess they got the equality they're looking for, right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Man, I could have went all day without that vision in my head.
Hey, that's trucking though. No holds barred right there. You get the bull with the horns.
I guess.
I ain't
yep, but yeah, that's one of them crazy things, you know. And I think a lot of drivers out there, especially when they see this, they'll definitely have something to say about it. And when we get this out here on YouTube, we'll have a couple of the pictures to show. And I'm going to track down the website for this actual product from the OmniTrack website and see what they got doing. This was just on CDL Life, and my only complaint about CDL Life, they got a lot of stuff. But a lot of times they just hit the highlights. They don't really have an in-depth article. So, but they get the information mm-hmm. out to you. That way you see it, you know, and they're good people over there. So that's what I like is, you know, hey, I didn't know about it. So now I know. Now I can go do more research. So,
mm-hmm.
so that kind of stuff is what I try to do. That's most of it all. It's is what.
I remember a lot of years ago when a female was training, they had to be with a female trainer.
Yeah, there was a big requirement.
That's the way it was. And then all of a sudden it went to where the males were training the females and whatever. And that was about time all that sexual harassment stuff all started, you know, and that was their way of stopping it. Now it's just like it's a new norm again. So what is it?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with incentives. I mean, if you're going to go out there, I mean, I'll just tell you this, and like I said, women truckers might be able to back me up on this. In my conversations with it, is that a woman trucker is probably the most independent person you'll ever want to meet. They are going to have they do it a certain way. And they like doing it a certain way, and that's what makes them a good truck driver. And when you start putting, and I hate saying it, but, you know, another woman in the truck with them that they don't know very well.
It's like a cat fight.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, you know, and even as a male trainer, when I was training, I couldn't do it for very long, you would always have to take a break. I would always want to take a lot of breaks. And in fact, I made fun of it that when you're training and you stop at a Walmart, and of course now it's time to go get you some groceries or get whatever you need, you tell the student, go get whatever you need. And some of the students were like going, well, what aisle are you going down? No, you grab your cart and you go get your stuff. Don't hang around me. It's like, well, let's spend some time apart here for a while, okay, buddy? You know, so yeah, I think a lot of have is to do with the incentives that it's just it doesn't pay enough. You know, it's a lot of trainers, they'll tell you they don't get paid enough. You know, all they tell you is you get paid whatever miles you all drive. That's how it used to be, and they probably do it a little different now. But they used to say whatever miles you get between the two of you, that you get all those miles. And of course then trainers start cracking the whip saying, we got to go, we got to run, And the dispatchers, they didn't say no. They were like, we got to go, you know. In fact,
well, you know, when I was a trainer, man, I'm going to tell you one of the biggest problems I see out here in this industry is, and I've been a trainer on like almost every aspect of trucking. I was a driver trainer. I was a truck driving school instructor, CDL road examiner. So I've seen the training on many levels, and they don't pay anything. They don't pay their trainers
right.
anything.
Right.
So they're basically getting, you know, if you're not going to pay a man to train, how do you expect to get a top-notch professional driver if he's not properly trained?
Exactly. Exactly. I totally agree. Well, that's the next question I was going to ask. Hey, Greg, did you ever train? Were you ever, like, in that position where you were training drivers or took drivers out on the road or anything like that?
Yeah, I did for about 3 months. And that was all I could stand. Like Popeye says, all I could stand, I can't stand no more.
And I think
he's got a wife. He's a trainee.
Well, what? I was going to say it.
I said, Greg's got a wife. Well, he's going to have a wife soon. He's a trainee.
Yeah. I can tell you the truth about it. Like I've said before, she's in there, but she'll hear me again. But she can probably drive as good as a lot of most men can when she wants to. But getting her to do it, that's the thing.
there she is. You're here now.
Like she just said, why should I do it when I got somebody to do it for me?
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's. And that's how I was as a trainer. I would tell the driver that, you know, like I would try to sit up with them as much as I could, because a lot of times I slept while the trainee was driving a lot of times because we had a day to get 700 miles. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to be driving. You're not going to the trainee. I'm not going to push that trainee to drive more than 600 or more than 500 miles. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to push them to, like, you know, be time restrictive. So I'll let them do what they got to do, and then I'll drive the rest. And if I can nap a little bit, I will. But most of the time, I'm up. And I thought that it was you had to run like a team. When I first started training back in 1997, when I took the class to become a trainer, they didn't say anything about not running like a team. They said you get the miles, so keep going. And the dispatcher was like, well, if you want to run 1,000 miles a day, let's run 1,000 miles a day. So I was like, let's do it. And when I had a student that couldn't, that I had to teach him how to drive, I had to teach him, you know, not to take this exit and stay on this road and follow this sign. When I had to do that, I said, I ain't training no more. Because if you guys want me to run like a team, I can't run like a team with a guy like this. And they were like, no, you don't have to.
Back then it was, what, 25 cents a mile?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing is they're always like that. It, the mindset was there there's two drivers in the truck. Let's get it done. You know, that's what the mindset was always like that. I mean, we even had a system in place. We had a system in place where I would go out. I went out with my trainer for 4 weeks. Another driver went out with his trainer for 4 weeks, and after that, we teamed up together for 4 weeks. So with the two trainees. Or, you know, so people with less than 6 months experience were driving in a team truck together, and we sat down with the dispatcher, and before we started out, and he said we need to go. He said, we got freight to move, let's do it. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, and it was like, because I mean, and it the worst part is it's not that, you know, I have a problem. I don't have a problem sleeping and driving, but when I need. You know, I need some time away from this person that I barely know. And so we need to get out of the truck and all that. And I think that was the biggest thing that I always try to stress to my students and to future trainers is take your time. If you need some time alone, walk away, get out of the truck, you know, go walk in the truck stop, walk around, go to a shopping mall, walk around, go eat dinner alone, go into one restaurant and the student go in another restaurant, you know, something like that. Because sometimes you just got to get away from people and all that. We, The funny story I have is I was in the dispatch office, and there was a conference call every morning talking about, you know, the issues of the day, and the founder of Swift was he was no longer the CEO. Everybody knows who I'm talking about, old Jerry Moyse. He was no longer the CEO, but he still was the founder, and the classified as the president. So he wasn't as at that time he had nothing to do with the day to day operations. But he kind of just showed up for the conference call one day, and of course there was a lot of late freight. There was we had JCPenney was a hot account out of Fort Worth, and they put him on team trucks. Well, they didn't have a lot of teams, so they put him on trainer trucks, and the trainer, one of the trainers stopped. He shut down. He got about 5 hours outside of Fort Worth and decided he was done for the day, and he went to bed. And so that made the conference call that morning that load was going to be late. And of course, Jerry Morris lost it. He's like, why is that truck stopped? That's two people in that truck. That truck shouldn't be stopped. And of course, the new CEO, Richard Stocking, he had to kind of say, we can't do that no more. They need to rest. The trainers are pushing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, good for Richard to do that. But that's how old school, you know, that's Jerry. He was old school, you know. So
but that's how we made our money, though. You know, we're going to push.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it was. You know, that's what that movie made a lot of money. Black Dog, because he was just pushing. That's why he had an accident and went to prison, because he was pushing, trying to make that money, trying to support a family. That's what happens out there. You know, we get mad sometimes at when truck drivers do stupid stuff, but the bad ones are a lot of times the driver's he's just pushing. He's pushing too hard, and he's got a family to raise, and that's why. You know, everybody does that. Everybody out there, if anybody out there knows about working hard, they know that there are drivers out there that push too hard, and sometimes they don't realize it. And we're just out here trying to be the brotherhood together, trying to tell them, you know, trying to catch them when they're pushing too hard. Hey, man, you know, I'm here for you. You know, hey, buddy, how things been? Let's slow down. Let's take a break. Let's have dinner. Let's meet up. Let's do something. You know, but that's what we always try to do out here. So,
well, if you guys are listening on Facebook or listening online and you have a story like this, give us a call at 516-387-1733. It's 516-387-1733. I'm sorry, 516-387-1733. That's what it is.
There you go.
The sun's in my eyes. But, we got a – you want to take this caller right here? Looks like we got us a victim here on the line.
Yeah, there he is. We know who this is.
Uh-oh.
What's going on, my friend?
Uh-oh, what?
There you go.
What's going on?
Hmm.
Yeah, I keep looking at my deal. I keep looking at my pool. I keep looking at my pool, and I'm about ready to go jump in it.
Hell yeah, man! Yeah, it's old Robbie coming out of Arizona. You at home then, I guess?
Yeah. I've been home since last Sunday.
I was gonna say,
he's doing great.
Looking at a swimming pool, saying, "When did the truck stop putting in a swimming pool?"
Oh, dude, you could. I saw something on Facebook this morning that a guy was bringing his wife and I guess their dog with them on a month trip, and they were on the way to Spokane, Washington, or somewhere in Washington, but they stopped in Spokane and they grabbed a hotel room for the night just to get out of the truck.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like,
there
well,
you go. Yeah,
you could go sit by the pool. You're out of the truck. You're away from the truck. That's a you know, for what I was listening a little bit on how, you know, just training guys. Yeah, that's a good way to get away from your student if you trust them enough to stay in your truck by themselves, and you go to the hotel room and go kick it by the pool or just to get away.
Well, or get them the room. Go ahead and let them, and you stay in the truck. You know, let them stay in the hotel and all that.
No,
well,
get
I mean,
them on another hotel, at a different hotel. You go to another hotel and you go sit by the pool. How's that?
There you go. Yep. But yeah, it's what we were talking about, Robbie, is that how did we get to training? It was the trainers, because what we were talking about is that OmniTrax released a driver facing camera with artificial intelligence to detect distracted driving. So it'll know whether or not the driver's smoking or wearing sunglasses or using a cell phone or or stuff like that, or like, I guess inattentiveness is what they call it, but everything. And we were just, that kind of just boiled up to training, because I was talking about the old days where trainers actually took their own cameras and put them in the truck, and they started getting in trouble doing all that. And of course, you know, we were talking about back in the day where it was hard work training, you know, and you couldn't.
Oh yeah, I did some training too for, I think it was about a year and a half, but I took breaks like you were saying earlier. I had to take breaks. It wasn't right after another, but yeah, that's a small space to be cooped up with somebody for, you know, a month or a month and a half, or depending on the student. You know, I got lucky. I had quite a few students that would drive and they followed instruction and they were really good. Then I had some other ones that didn't want to drive more than 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I had ones where I couldn't even, like, even if I wrote down the directions turn by turn, they still couldn't follow. You know, and that was after like 3 weeks. I was like, dude, this is your most important thing. I don't care about your driving. You're driving, you can drive the truck, but you cannot follow directions. This is the most, you're going to get lost and you're going to get somewhere where you're going to tear something up, and that's, you can't do it, you know? So yeah, it's everything else. It's not the, like I tell everybody, driving's the easy part. It's all that other stuff that drivers can't do. I had one guy, he never left the state of Texas, and he didn't know how to read a map. He did not know how to read a map. He looked at the map of the United States, and I said, find New York. And he's looking the whole map, and he didn't even know what direction or what vicinity of the map he should be looking in to find the state of New York. So stuff like that, it's like,
what company was this?
Right, exactly.
What company was this?
It was back when I was training at Swift.
I rest my case.
Well, yeah. But you know what's so funny is he made it work. because, I mean, I asked him, too. I said, dude, I said, you're telling me that you grew up in a little small town in Texas, East Texas. You got family that live in Central Texas. You got family that live in West Texas. You say you go visit them all the time. How do you get out there? How do you go see these family members all over the state? And he's like, oh, we just know where to go. I just know where to go. You know, you go the route so many times as a passenger and you pay attention, and then next time you drive it, you get told where to go, and then that from now on you just know. And I'm like, oh well, okay, you know. I guess
now that's how people go all the time. Now I know how to get my way back there.
Well, you know, we could have really publicized this conversation right here, Ed. We could have advertised a show tonight with this conversation. The driver trainees from Swift Transportation. You know how many people would be tuned in right now?
I got some good stories, you know. And hey, there's a lot of students that were great, and they're still good friends of mine. I've got guys that, you know, and like you're saying, there were a lot of them in there that they drove good, they knew what they were doing and everything like that. And those were the ones where the last 3 weeks or the last 2 weeks of training, we were just running like a team, you know, because they were good people. I got along with them. And they knew what they were doing. They knew how to drive. They knew how to follow directions and everything. So we pushed it hard like a team those few times. One guy, I remember, it was so funny because we were hauling a load, like it's one of those big long loads all the way across from South Carolina over to Ontario, California. I stopped in Calexico there at that Love's, and then he got up ready to drive, and I said, dude, let me tell you something. I said, I'm going to bed. I said, you go deliver this load, go pick up the next load, and you come back here to this Love's. I said, you do that all by yourself, and you passed. You're done. And he did it. I'm like, you're done. Sign him off. Because, I mean, if he gets into Ontario, California, delivers a load, goes and finds the next load by himself, and then gets out of Ontario, California without tearing anything up, that is a good driver right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was actually kind of My training was a little different when I was a driver trainer, because I was working with a hazmat tanker company, and I was a trainer with them guys for 9.5 years, but their training program, they didn't hire rookies, so in order to work for this company, you had to have hazmat tanker experience, so the vast majority of the people that I trained, I just had to take them out for like 2 weeks. was basically just to teach them the paperwork and how the company runs, you know. So, but a lot of these guys actually had more hazmat experience than I had. You know, the old timers, I was pretty young back then. You know, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And all the guys that I trained were, they had more, you know, they've been driving, some of them been driving longer than I was alive. But they had to go through the two-week program. And so I didn't have all them horror stories like you guys have. A lot of my guys were, well, about 99% of them were awesome. Now, when I started teaching truck driving school, that was a that was a fun experience.
Some of the yeah, we the truck driving school, there are some good ones, there are some bad ones, and they always tried to weed those guys out. You know, our hope is that the truck driving schools can weed out the bad ones, the guys that come in that don't know what they're doing.
Well, actually, none of them know what they're doing when they're in truck driving school. That's what they're there for. So, and the biggest thing I had, you know, the biggest thing that really helped me was you have to teach them. Sometimes you have to teach people different ways depending on how they learn.
Yep, so
if I had somebody that was stuck, you know, you figure out how they learn, then you teach them that way, and then they get it, you know. A lot of times it's the instructors, not the students, but I had a 100% passing rate on truck driving school with all the students I had. Never failed anybody, never had to. But yeah, it was fun. It was a challenge. The school was a challenge, but the road training, it was just like, come on, let's go. Yeah. You want to drive? You want me to start driving, you know?
Yep.
But, it was good because I could just sit and, you know, I could sit there and just observe. And I didn't have to worry about, you know, the guy coming off a hill too fast or something.
That's awesome. Yep. Well, this is Nick and Dad Radio, all things trucking and then some. And Robbie, you got something else? What you got?
Yeah. When I was training the last week, right before when I thought they were pretty wrapped up on doing it, my last week with them on the truck, it was their truck. I was along for the ride. I go, you find all the loads.
Yep.
And you run in it. And if you don't think you can run in that load, I'll help you drive, but you're going to do most of the work. Getting them ready for, they're going to be on their own here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, in their own truck. And if they get stuck with something, I'm there. I'm right next to them to help them out.
Yep. And that's
you
the
know
thing.
What?
Giving them help like that. So, yeah.
I sit here and I listen to stories about Swift, you know, and their trainers and trainees. And Ed, you trained, and Robbie says he trained. And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, I remember a Swift trainer that was down at the truck show back in, I don't know, first year, I think we was down there, second year, maybe we was down there, Ed. And we was sitting there, and this Swift trainer come in there. But this time he wasn't training. He had his own truck and everything. But he came in there, and here's somebody that's been training. And he goes out the entrance where the buses are coming in. He's going out.
Yeah, yeah.
Or coming. He's coming in the exit that they're supposed to be going out. So, you know, where do these guys, how do they learn to read?
Well, that's the thing, you know. So the blind leading the blind, teaching the blind is what it is. I mean, there's not a lot of whole criteria to become a trainer at these big carriers like Swift or whatever. It's you got to be with them, you know, either 6 months or a year, depending on their criteria, and then they say you got to take a class, and of course that class, all it is teaching them how to not to kill the driver. You know, don't get mad when the guy does something stupid.
But you remember when that happened, right? We was down here at the truck show, and that Swift driver was going. He was coming in the exit where the buses was going out.
Yeah,
you remember
I mean,
when that happened?
I don't remember that. I might not have been hanging around at that time when that was there. I might have been still on the bus coming back or something. But
well, you know,
I remember
you
talking about it.
That guy, maybe that guy was just having a blonde moment or was having a rough day that day.
Might have been. Might have been. You never know.
You never know.
Bill can tell you all
saying,
about
you know, just, I'm just giving the guy a, I'm just giving the guy a benefit of the doubt, you know. Maybe he was trying. At least he didn't wreck nothing. You know.
No, he didn't hurt nothing. But I was just, you know, I just didn't know if anybody else remembered that or not. I don't want to, you know, I'm just, you know, change the name to protect the innocent sort of deal.
Oh, that wasn't Ed you're talking about, was it?
Wow. No, it wasn't Ed. It might be the other one, though.
The dude with all the skull rings. Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. When you talk about all this training and stuff, you know, my wife just went through truck driving school, and I'm real proud of her, you know. She, when I first met her, you know, I didn't even think, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, she'd never driven anything big. And then when she opened up her store, we bought a big old 16-foot box van, okay? So I didn't think she'd be able to drive it. Hell, she got in that thing and just took off in it, you know. And I was proud of her because she got to where she would drive that box van as her personal vehicle. Dang. So then, back in December, she went through truck driving school. So now my wife has, and I joke about it because her license, she actually has more license than I have, because I've never had a need for doubles and triples. But she's got a tanker, hazmat, doubles and triples. I mean, she's got everything on her driver's license, and she did real good, you know. Now, if she had some road experience, you know, maybe one day soon we'll be able to take her out here with me, get her a little road experience. But, I mean, she jumped in it like a boss. So, I'm real proud of her for that. And if you're listening, Sheree, what's up?
there you go.
Say hello to her anyway.
That's cool.
It's not hard. It's not. I guess my biggest complaint with all the training stuff is, dude, this job ain't that hard.
Right.
To learn. I mean, you have the basic concept of driving in a car. I mean, you know how to steer. You know how to shift, you know. You get in the big truck, yeah, I understand it's a little different, but you go through that training. The one thing that always got me was the logbook. I mean, I just don't understand how so many people had so many problems with the logbook. It's literally like a timeline that's got a clock on it.
Yeah, no, it's...
My clock just sent me a text, said, what's up?
So it's a lot of that, like you're saying, it's all this. Like I said, this job is not that hard to learn. The driving is the easy part. The other stuff, I mean, to me, even the logbook ain't that hard. Like you're saying, it's just everything else. It's just what it is. It's like, you know, I mean, you go out there. I go out there every day and I run into idiots. You know, whether they're at the grocery store, at the convenience store, or wherever, people are stupid. I just don't want to tell you. You know.
That's, you know, insensitive, so. Ed.
Well, you know, how's the song go? God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. That's the facts of life right there.
Old women are lazy.
And lazy, yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, they don't want
to. Beer is good, and women are lazy.
Well, and I resemble that remark because I love being lazy, man. That's good. That's fun.
You know something, guys, it's the things that are not said sometimes to me that are the funniest. I just out of the blue got a text message with a meme on it that said, what's that Swift truck trying to back? Or where's that Swift truck trying to back? And it has a picture of Rock, you know, looking over his shoulder. And the kid in the back seats go, between those two hazmat tankers. And Rock has this stupid look on his face. Then it shows like a nuclear bomb going off.
Exactly. Yep.
Bill's probably listening.
I love that meme.
The only thing I could say is Swift was
probably real glad, or I shouldn't say Swift. J.B. Hunt and Snyder was real glad when Swift come around, because that took a lot of heat off them, because it used to be the joke was always on J.B. Hunt.
Yeah. Well,
now they
I
let
think,
up
think,
J.B. Hunt, now it's all on Swift.
Well, I think the biggest thing was when Swift and MS Carrier merged and made them the biggest. You know, and JB and Schneider and all them were like, yeah, you can have the biggest, because the biggest always gets the most. They get the most heat from that, you know. And it is, you everybody out there, oh, we see Swift trucks messing up. But in reality, that's because there are 10 times as many Swift trucks out there on the road than any other truck out there. So let's you know, and that's what we have to face out there, is that they're having more accidents just because there's more trucks. If you go to one truck stop and there's one Swift backing in to another Swift and they tear something up, or you go to the next truck stop and there's another Swift turning a corner, and you might think that there might be a pattern to that. Well, what it is that Swift is doing what Swift does, and they don't want to hire experienced drivers, or experienced drivers don't want to work for Swift. So they have to hire inexperienced drivers, because they went out there just like what me and Greg were talking about.
They don't want to pay experienced drivers is what it is.
Well that but then also, like Greg was talking about, Swift's out there booking freight like all get out, and they don't even have the trucks to cover it. So they got to hire somebody, you know, and they lower their hiring standards so they can cover the freight that they booked already, because they book it before they even know they can cover it. And that's
what
a lot of those big carriers are doing.
Here's a question I got, like the chicken and the egg. How is a person supposed to get experience if nobody will give them the chance? Now, you see all this, well, you got to have a minimum of, you know, like Taylor was talking on the tanker side, you know, of hazmat. You got to have so much tanker hazmat experience in order to go. Now, how are you supposed to get that experience if nobody gives you a chance? Just like when you started driving truck. Well, you got to be
like
20. How do you get that experience? Nobody will give you the chance to get it. Yeah, we all started somewhere.
Yeah. No,
when I first got tanker.
We weren't all professionals when we started.
When I first got a CDL, you had to have a year's experience to even get a tanker endorsement. You couldn't even get a tanker endorsement from day one. So, but I did. You just had to do like I did. I lied.
And then when they catch the line, then it's good again. I did.
Actually, I lied
to get my first trucking job.
Actually, I didn't lie. I actually just came out of the Army. One of my jobs in the Army, I was a fueler. So they grandfathered my experience in the military for the tanker, because I had a military CDL. It's not actually called a CDL. It's just a driver's license. That had a... The 977 Hemet on it, which is a fuel tanker, and then the 88 Mike truck. I got my endorsement that way. But you know, you guys talking all this truck, and we got Lee Owens coming up here in a second, and going to tell us a little bit about the truck show out in Searcy, Arkansas, what to expect, and what all's going on, and it's going to be a real good event. Hopefully. Some of you guys be able to make it out there.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. I think I'm going to try to get up there. I'm almost positive I can do that, because it's not too far away, and it's a nice little truck up there. And Searcy, man, it's a beautiful country up there. I'm looking forward to seeing all the green foliage and the hill country and everything.
Mm-hmm. I think he's – I think I got him here – bring him on here. Somebody. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it's him right here. Lee, is that you on the line with us?
I can hear you.
There you go.
Awesome. How you doing today? Lee Owens, everybody. How you
doing,
brother?
Wonderful. I am doing wonderful. How about y'all?
Oh, living a dream, man.
Good.
Yeah, living the dream. That's true. Anytime drive a truck, you're living the dream. In my book.
Lee, you're on the line with the Redneck and Ice crew. You got Ed Prince. Say hello, Ed.
Hey, this is Ed coming at you. What's going on? I'm down here in Corpus, down here where it's 100 degrees, but it feels like it's 120.
All right. Well, I'm in Osceola, Arkansas at Big River Steel.
All right, okay.
You got Greg Spencer on the line.
How you doing, Lee? I'm up here in Ohio.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing really good.
There you go.
Had a busy weekend.
Then we got the handsome face of Redneck and Eyes on the line, Mr. Robbie.
Hey, how's it going? How are you doing over there?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I'm in Arizona. I'm at home right now, and it's 112 degrees here.
Well,
I'm telling you, it's a dry heat, huh?
How far are you from Tucson?
It's about a good hour.
Oh, okay. I got a son stationed in Tucson. Well, he's not in Tucson now, but he's usually in Tucson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To the base there, it's about an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, too far.
Well, I'm going to make a trip out that way sometime.
In reality, that's the only town that Lee knows in Arizona, so that's why he mentioned Tucson.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, you're right.
And I wouldn't know that, but I've heard five other people say they're from Tucson, and Lee always says, how far are you from Tucson? Or from Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, how far are you from Tucson? Like, dude, there's other towns in Tucson. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, hell.
Hey, Lee, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Searcy.
Well, we're getting geared up and getting ready to have a truck show in October. Good old, see old Bill and Peter Barker and Mountain Man, we lining it up.
That's awesome.
What? Yes, sir. Do what now?
This is the part where you tell us when.
Oh! I'm sorry. This is my first radio interview here. So, but anyway, October the 30th and 31st, I'll be there on the 29th that afternoon to start letting people in if they want to show up. We're just going to have a good old time.
What all you got going on there at the truck show this year?
Well, like I said, we got Mountain Man coming. You got Bill Weaver and yourself and David Michaels coming, and I've heard Black Smoke Matters is coming, and we're doing a fundraiser for St. Christopher's, taking up raffle items for that, and we're just letting it grow as it grows.
That's
you
awesome.
Are you having any kind of different classes of trucks to be shown, or
well, I haven't
cars?
Really worked up. We're going to have cars coming this year. I'm going to have a show class, a no work class, probably show work class. I'm going to come up with some different
hear
classes
that, Greg?
For
you
the cars.
Bring your Prius.
Do what?
Yeah.
I tell Greg he can come bring his Prius and show it.
Well, now that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. But
yeah, I don't want to do that. The objector probably go out there too.
Do what now?
So I don't bring a damn Prius. They'll probably spit an injector too. I ain't have a good luck the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, a lot of folks been having injector problems here lately. Must be something with you.
He don't want to bring that Prius because it ain't big enough to haul the trophy back.
That's it.
I hear you. Well, we're going to have a radio competition. What kind of radio has it got in it?
Most of it's got radios bigger than the car.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Hey, Lee, that's pretty interesting. So you're going to have a CB radio competition as well, just like the truck show, kind of just got to show off your CB radio?
Well,
is that the deal?
Well, no, it's supposed to be FBM.
Okay.
Yeah, FBM, but I've been wanting to do a CB competition. I've always wanted to do one of those, and we may add it to it. We've talked about it several times. Gonna have a lot of things for the kids, hopefully. Looking into getting some bouncy houses out there for them.
Yep,
and
yep.
All that good stuff, so gotta take care of the kiddos. Yeah. We're gonna have Truck or Treat during our light show on Saturday night. And it's gonna be fun for the kids, the whole family.
Good deal. Plenty to eat too. Got a lot of people out there serving food, or how's that gonna work?
Right now I have the Jesse Dillon James Foundation that's coming to do barbecue. But
uh-huh.
I've got a couple others lined up. It's supposed to get back with me that does treats and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I mean, we're still working on things.
Yeah, that's a big crowd draw. Everybody wants to go see what's good to eat. That's always have from my experience anyway. You know, because I like to eat. So
right. we still got some folks coming to. I mean, I haven't got it all lined up on that part yet on the food, but I got a guy wanting to come in. It's also, there's a lot of other festivals going around, so I'm having to kind of wait on them to let me know if they're going to show up to mine.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you got a lot of different things going on that you don't have any word from other people, too. Is that going on in Searcy you're talking about, or is that just other places doing other things?
No, I got the other places doing other things.
I got you.
I mean, but I'll have some food.
Right,
there'll
right.
Be food
yep.
involved.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. We're
just,
like I said, we're
I'm just
talking
going
about
for the
how excited we are. Yeah, that too. Well, yeah.
The what now? I missed what you said.
I'm just coming. I'm just coming for the beer.
Oh yeah, well we can do that. Just it is a dry county, so you know if you keep it in a cup and disposed. Nobody knows.
Isn't that something? So, but we're, right. We'll have to watch it around Taylor though, because if he's up there on stage and that beer starts getting a hold of him, then ain't no telling what he might sing.
Well, yeah, him or Bill, either one, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, you're right about that.
But
man.
Well, see, so Lee, if people are interested in checking up on what's going on with you and all that, where can they get a hold of you, or can they go somewhere to see what all's updating or anything and find out more about the truck show?
Yes, sir. We have a Facebook page. It's American Truckers Jubilee. The profile picture is actually the flyer, and on the flyer is my phone number. They can contact me there or through Messenger, however they want to do it. And on the flyer.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, we'll get that out there and we'll share it to our page and our website and everything. And like I said, I don't know if you know this or not. We've been doing this here since January. We'll do this here radio show, and I'm recording it on video too, and I'm going to upload it to YouTube next week. So it'll get out there as best we can. We try to get as much information out to drivers on a weekly basis here at Redneckinized Radio. So we're trying to get things out there where people can get more information about that. You know, Facebook's good, but sometimes, you know, there's not a lot of content where you can get information about stuff going on that, you know, normal big organizations don't take care of, you know?
Right. Well,
Leo, just to give you a little background on Redneckinized, They're kind of like their own entity in the truck stop or truck show as well. We go to match and stuff, they have a big area set up in the parking lots where all the truckers hang out, and they have a big tent. They got live entertainment. They got a stage. They got free food. There's games there. There's just all kinds of stuff to do there at the Redneckinized tent in a match parking lot. In fact, the last match that we did, they actually beat all odds. They had Uber out there at their big fancy tent, and it and the weather blew it down right through the Tony Justice concert. Three or four songs in the Tony show, the wind just took their tent and just sailed it away. And our tent, they had it strapped down between a couple of rigs or trailers, and that just made the party even bigger because everybody was at the Redneck and Ice tent.
Yep.
Right. Well, it sounds like fun. Well, I would also like to come back on later as it gets a little closer and I get everything lined up and all that, if you don't mind.
And you can talk about it every week if you want to.
Well, I'd like to give you an update when it gets a little bit closer, and that way, you know, I can have a little more to say about it. But trying to have a good show, not trying so much to focus on show rigs. We're actually wanting the truckers in their trucks, you know.
That's
what we're hitting.
So you're talking about having a show class and then a working class, you know, different categories. Now, what would be the criteria for a working class? Is it like, how does that get determined?
Well, usually it's just owner operator in his truck.
Yeah,
pretty much. If you can drive it in there and it's got grease on
the
fifth wheel.
I'll have a show. I wish I had my list here with me, but what I've worked on so far, but I don't have it with me. I left it at home. But I'm going to have different categories. I'll probably have work class, show work class, show class, oldest truck there. I could go on, but I won't leave it out in the dark and not have, you know, some other classes to where everybody can get involved and get a chance to win a trophy.
Right. Yeah, because I got a friend of mine. He's up in Missouri, and he's got a real nice W900. And you know, he keeps it up. He's got good chrome and polished it and got the tanks polished and everything, but he works it. So the body is kind of scratched up, and it's got some rust spots on the frame and all that. And he puts it in that working class at the Dallas Truck Show every year. And I went down there when I had, you know, I was just spending more time with him than usual. And I asked him, I said, so who are your competition? And he's like, well, this whole row right here. And he was the only truck that looked like it got used. And they were technically in the working class. And I guess they had provided some kind of information that truck has so many miles driven on it that year or so many miles on it that it got into that class. But this one was like one of those big rigs with the winch on the back on the catwalk. So it had the cable stretched out to the back of the bobtail all the way, and it had everything set up. And you could tell that didn't get used. That the where the cable was wasn't scratched up or nothing. So you're like he don't even use it. How is he a working class and everything? And so I thought that was weird that a lot of different trucks get in there like that with the working class that they don't actually work.
I'm going to be mindful of that. I'll be very mindful of that. I understand that. You know,
can you cross categorize trucks?
Can I what?
Cross categorize. Like say we brought a show truck. Say we brought a show truck down there, and you know we had it in the show truck class, and it won. But it's also the oldest truck there. Would it win twice?
Oh yeah, it would still it could still win twice. Yes, yeah.
There you go.
It sure can. I mean that's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah,
but nobody, none of the administration will be judges. I have judges lined up to judge this next year, and it's, you know, it's folks that not have any trucks there or people that they know that's coming, like the mayor and different various people that I've asked to be a judge. So I feel like that'd be fair, and they've had the experience at judging at car shows and stuff, but they're, you know, it's the first time I've ever done a truck show. But
I'm
excited
about it,
to be honest with you.
It's,
I am too. I'm very excited.
Well, my neck is already itching. I got a scratch in my neck because I've got the jitters now talking about truck shows because we ain't done one in over a year.
So, Lee, how about if you're a private sector business and you want to rent a booth?
I have booth rental. I sure do. And once again, they can get on the flyer there on the American Truckers Jubilee Facebook page and get my phone number and line it up if they want to in advance. So I have we'll have booths and there's open sponsorship. So
that's awesome. I was looking at it right here. It's, American Truckers Jubilee, October 30th and 31st. It's got the address 2508 East Line Road in Searcy, Arkansas, and it's they're going to have Bill Weaver and David Michaels and Taylor Barker. It says Mountain Man from Duck Dynasty will be attending, and that's highlighted right there, real nice and neat. And we're going to share this to our Facebook page and everything. And it's got it looks like confirmed bobtail class, combo class, light and stereo competition, and car show. This looks exciting. Well, I'll tell you what, your hair starts standing up on the back of your neck when you look at this flyer here talking about a truck show. It's like, oh my goodness, truck show.
There was a lot of work put into that flyer.
I bet you. Yo, you ain't telling me nothing, man. I sometimes sit here 4 hours on the websites trying to create like a pamphlet or something that I just want to pass around and give away for free. I'm not even making any money off of it. What the hell?
Well, this is my first experience with electronics. So about all I've ever done is Facebook. You know, we started this little truck show about 4 years ago. It was just going to be a little weekend, once a year gathering for a few folks. But it just kind of took one step to another step to another step. And, well, now it's starting to become a truck show, and it's pretty exciting.
Oh man.
Hey guys, I tell you, I could Greg, if you decide you want to come, if you'd like me to, if Red's gonna be there, I'm sure we can meet up somewhere on the way and you can put your stuff in my trailer. I got plenty of room.
Oh yeah, I'd love to have a show there. That would be awesome.
Stuff in what trailer?
If you don't want to drag your trailer way out there, I don't know if you're coming or not.
Oh, us?
Yeah.
I ain't got a problem. I ain't going to be one driving it.
Oh, I got you.
Well, you didn't know. Taylor, you
didn't
know that
drive.
Was going to have a few words.
All I did was maintenance. I don't get to drive it nowhere.
Okay.
Well, so I had to bring the big one. You know I don't go to a truck show without my Freightliner.
I got you.
Ooh, Freightliner.
Mine.
FLD Classic? What do you got?
Yeah, I got a Classic, 98 Classic.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm sitting in right now.
We all have that one friend that's got that Freightliner. We tolerate it.
Well, yeah, everybody needs friends.
You know what they say, Taylor? You got those who drive Freightliners and those that wish they did.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Used to you couldn't keep the door shut on them, though. They've improved that. They'll stay shut now.
Yeah, I can't. My dad slammed the door a little bit. $1,600,000. It's still running.
Yeah, them.
You know what?
Freightliners. Hey, Lee, them Freightliners. They got some pretty good deals on them now because now when you buy a new Freightliner, they give you a puppy and a pair of shoes.
Oh shit.
Oh,
I don't need either one because I got enough puppies and I got enough shoes.
Yeah, you know, they give you that puppy and the shoes, you know, for you in case you break down. You got to walk in the puppy to keep you company.
Keep you company, right? Well, they, I tell you what, when Freightliner FLDs first come out, I was a proud feller when I got to get in one of them things. I liked them. But like I said, you couldn't keep the left door shut on them.
The new Chevrolet pickup truck's coming out. Their tailgates are padded.
Now, wait a minute. Now.
Chevy just
no, when you break down,
you have,
yeah, you have a comfortable place to sit when you break down.
Chevrolet come out with a padded tailgate, and Ford come out with heated tailgates so your hands don't get cold when you're pushing them.
Ford circled the problem a long time ago. It's just nobody heeds to it.
Oh man.
Nah, that's just, yeah, you guys are hard on people.
Oh man. So anyway.
But yeah, so in the truck shows, I don't know if you remember Lee or wherever in Louisville, but that's what we did. We met at a truck show. Me, Greg, Robbie, and Phil was another driver that started out with us. We met. We just kind of just bumped into each other at the parking lot up there at the Louisville truck show, and we started hanging out. And what we found out was that not a lot of drivers show up to these truck shows prepared to there all week and not be able to go anywhere, especially the big ones, you know, when everything's far away and all that. So what we decided to do was like, we're going to bring a tent and grill and we're going to set up in this parking lot. And next thing you know, we had a crowd of people and everybody's like, are y'all going to do this again next year? And I was like, well, I don't see why not. We're going to be here. And we came back next year, picked a good spot, set up the tent, got a grill. More and more people started showing up and everybody started talking about it. So we're like, so now, you know, that's just who we are. And they said, so what's your organization called? It's like, well, I don't know. What is it? And I think it was Phil that just said, Redneckanize. You know, because yeah. And so we just, we started calling ourselves Redneckanize. And then they said, well, you can't. And then the show management people said, well, you guys can't be coming up there setting up a tent unless you're some kind of charity organization. Well, we are. Yeah, we are. We're a charity organization. Well, what's your charity's name? Redneckanize. Man, I tell you what, now it's like everybody's like, so what are y'all doing? It's like, well, we need something to do. Let's do something. What do you want to do? Let's do something. And with the truck shows canceled, we decided we're going to get online. And Taylor Barker's like, man, I got a radio show deal you can get on to. You guys can use that. And I was like, really? Wow. You know, so. Man, I couldn't be more happier than what things are going. It's like a big old snowball, and COVID just slowed it down a little bit. But man, I tell you, I'm ready to take off. I'm ready to take off again and get out to these shows and meet the truckers and talk about trucking and talk about all the crazy, like we talk about here on the show, just crazy people doing crazy stuff. So,
yeah, well, that's awesome. I love talk trucks.
There you go. Yeah. Like I said, I got a buddy of mine. He's up there in Missouri, and he's got several trucks, and his son takes the truck down to Dallas and shows it. And I told him, I said, dude, your truck's the only work truck here in the deal, and nobody knows it. And he's like, yeah. He's like, some people, I'll sit around here, and some people walk by, and they ask me, and I tell them, and, you know, and all that. And I said, nah, they don't know. And so what we did, we took a laptop and had a bunch of pictures that he took. When he goes to Canada, he takes pictures. When he goes to California, he takes pictures. When he goes to Houston, he takes pictures. So whenever he's doing something, like he'll go onto a work site and he'll be hauling rock or he'll be hauling lumber or he'll be hauling pipe, he always takes pictures of that stuff where he's delivering to out in the middle of nowhere and all that stuff. And he takes pictures of off-road and the things he does. So we created this big slideshow and put it like in front of the truck at the Dallas Truck Show where with people walking by, they see his truck doing the work because, you know, you don't, you know, and that's the thing that a lot of these people, regular people that live in the Dallas area that come to these truck shows, they see them sitting there looking pretty all shined up, but they don't see these trucks out there doing the work. And they would be amazed at some of these big trucks and what they can do with the right driver, at least.
Right.
That they can do what they do.
I would love to see some guys bring the load out there. and show with a load. I would love it. We had a Peterbilt come 1 year with a load of air conditioners on it. The kids were amazed at the air conditioners that were on that truck. You know, the big industrial type air conditioners.
Right.
So, you know, to them that was huge. So, yeah, I'd love to see people bring a loaded truck out there and show it. Bob Spooner's going to bring his old 351 out there. Of course, Randy Victory, he'll be there with his Black Flame truck, but he's got a beautiful 359 he's working on. It. I'm excited to see it when it gets done, but it'll be there. Of course, I have my old 359 Stonewall. I plan on it being there if I can ever find time to finish it this year. So, got quite a few beautiful trucks coming out.
That's awesome.
No, I don't put mine in no trophy class. I just want to show it. That's all I want to do with it. I wouldn't feel right getting a trophy at my truck show.
Well, and that's another cool thing too is people do just show up sometimes, especially to these smaller shows where they don't want to enter a contest. They just want to park the truck and show it off.
Well, that there's nothing wrong with that. I'm gonna try to have. I don't know how many of them I'm going to have, but American Pride Awards is what I'm going to call it. It'll be some type of a trophy. And that's going to be for guys that come up there, you know, and they want to be part. I mean, you know, no matter what their truck looks like or what condition it's in, they've showed up and they want to be part. You know, they want to – I'd like to see unity built back in the trucking industry. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm getting it going, and I changed the name to American Truckers Jubilee. But I'm going to have awards for those fellas that show up, you know. To me, that takes a lot of pride to show up, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
I think everybody should be a winner. But that's what I'm focusing on is the drivers and their trucks. You know, I want show trucks to be there. We're going to have a show class for them. But I want Backbone America showing up and being proud to be there and have fun, laugh, and drink some beer, and just have a good time all weekend.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
That's right.
It ain't over who's got the prettiest truck, the shiniest truck, the fastest truck, the biggest truck. It's just everybody's trucking, and everybody's there to have a good time.
Well, you know, one thing I learned about starting this truck show was like buying my first truck. You know, when you buy that first truck, it's just a plain old truck. But as you go a little bit and every year you add this, you add that, and next thing you know, you got a surefire, beautiful truck. It don't all happen overnight, you know. But I want these guys to come to this truck show and feel at home. I mean, you know, I want them to be part. I want everybody, you know, to know who we are whenever we meet up out on the highway. Well, I saw you at the truck show, you know. That's my goal.
There you go.
Right.
There you go. Yep. And
I'm excited. I'm stoked.
Man.
Well,
you know what?
Taylor, you're my hero anyway, and I can't wait to watch you perform. But don't tell Bill that I said that.
Oh, for God's sake. He'll never get out of the truck now.
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Bill Weaver to the show. Hello, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, he's busy with Carol Ann, ain't he? He's at home, right?
No, he's trucking.
Oh, is he? I thought he was supposed to be in at the middle of the month or something. I don't know what I was thinking. But, no, I'd like to see all you guys come out, too. Come and have a good time with us. I'll get y'all some food out there.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely far out advanced. You know, that's what we always would tell people all the time about, especially going to the big shows when you plan on being off for a length of time, like, you know, whether it be 4 or 5 days, is that as a truck driver, if you want to plan on being somewhere at a certain time for an event or something like that, you better start planning as far ahead as you can because something will always happen. And so you always try to make sure you got your money set back, you got your issues, bills taken care of, and of course, you know, your time planned off and all that. You gotta plan that as far in advance as you can because as we all know as truck drivers, that it can just hit the fan real quick and just change everything for you in a blink of an eye. So always try to say, you know, get prepared. Even if something happens, you know, Greg will tell you a story about getting his truck to the truck show because 1 year his truck didn't make it. He made it, but his truck didn't make it.
Right.
Yeah, no, but I had a truck freightliner.
That's right. Yeah.
Freightliners.
Yep.
Yeah, no, but I tell you what, that International was the most miserable year that I ever spent truck show in a truck.
Yeah. Well, that was the
an International.
Yeah.
I had an international stolen.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what they wanted that truck for, but I had an International stolen a few years ago, right off at my shop parking lot.
I could have stolen if I left the keys in it.
Well, I didn't leave the keys in it, but it sure got stolen.
Yeah,
it sure did.
Somebody was desperate.
It might have been that 12.7 Detroit they were after. I don't know, but anyway, it ended up getting stolen.
Greg left his truck unlocked last week, Lee. Greg left his freightliner unlocked last week with the keys, and it came back. There was two sets of keys.
There you go.
Well, not all of us drive Peterbilts and Kenworths. Takes all walks of all kinds. But thank God for the Freightliner guys.
That's why they go to Peterbilt, Taylor, to keep you guys out of Freightliners.
Only the best does it.
Yeah, the jokes go on and on and on with trucks, man.
Yeah, they do.
I haven't heard nobody say a word about a Volvo, though.
Well, it's because
yeah. Nobody in their right mind will ever admit they got into the cab of one.
I bought one time.
You know what I can honestly say? A Volvo is one of the nicest, smoothest trucks that I've ever rode in. They just don't last. They don't hold up.
Yeah,
I agree. It was like an early 90s model, and I put a driver in it. He went to Florida, and when he came back, the fender was halfway torn off of it, and the bumper all. I don't know what he done to it, but he just left the truck abandoned. I don't know what he did to it, but, man, it had a load on it, and it had to go. So I went on with the load, and I hit that left lane, and I let it rip. And them guys, them Peterbilts, them Kenworths was hollering back at me, hey, if that fender flopping out there helps you go any faster, I'm fixing to do mine. They'd just wave at you when you go by. But anyway.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, them trucks rode good. They ride nice, but they just don't hold up.
Well, I don't know if it's just the early 90s model, but I had a lot of problems with the air conditioner and that thing. I don't know if it's because the cab was so huge or what the deal was, but I was constantly working on the air conditioner on that thing.
Yeah, I actually had a Volvo once. It was actually probably the best riding truck I've ever had.
Oh, yeah. And they handled good, too. I don't know about these new ones, though. I ain't been one since 1990, so 90-something. So I wouldn't know. But,
y'all go ahead. You got? No, I was going to say, I drive a Volvo every day, and my only complaint is I can't get the hood open.
Well, hell, it's got a damn hood latch on the inside.
Yeah, the damn thing don't work half the time. For some stupid reason, they think that somebody's going to steal the engine. I don't know why you have to lock the hood from the inside like that. I don't get. But you know, all the other trucks, just you know those rubber latches that hold the hood down. That's all you need. But why Volvo has to say, well, we need our hood to lock because you shouldn't be able to open the hood. It's like, well, ain't nobody trying to steal the engine. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
man. Got some important gold underneath there.
Yeah.
Well, fellas, I've enjoyed sitting and talking with you. And like I said, I'd like to get back on here again a little more prepared with everything when it gets I get a little more added to it and do another spiel for the Chuck Show.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. We're looking forward to it, and we're definitely going to make some headway trying to get up there, even if it's just us as a people. When you know we. You know, the whole production of Redneck and I might not be able to show up, but you know, hey, that's just how it goes sometimes. But we'll definitely, you know, try to have some. Of course, the you know, like you said, it's just about hanging out with friends, hanging out with truckers, and building that brotherhood of trucking. That's what we like.
Right. Well, that's what we're after. That's where we're going with it, man. To be quite honest, I kind of forgot about this here. Radio conversation night, so I didn't bring my notes with me, but I'll be calling you back here in another month, and maybe we can have everything lined up and I can tell a little bit more about it.
Sounds good. Yeah, you be safe out there, and like I said, give us a holler. Stay in touch.
Y'all too. All right, thank you.
All right, now.
All right.
Yeah, everybody, that was Lee Owens. He is the I guess founder and coordinator of the American Trucker Jubilee. It's going on in October 30th and 31st out there in Searcy, Arkansas. So he's got a Facebook page group that you guys can check out. It's American Truckers Jubilee. Make sure you search that and go. And it's got like a group where you see posts and stuff like that. And we're trying to share information and get that out there so everybody knows where to go to get that. And we'll put a link to that on our page as well and our website also, so people can go get more information about it. And the flyer is really cool. American truck, American flag, and it's got all the detailed information you see on there online as the photo. So I hope that helps out everybody, and hope everybody can make it, because I think this will be like the first pretty – I mean, what we see is the sponsors showing up. We see sponsors already putting their hats in the ring ready to get to it because – everybody's canceled, you know, Dallas canceled and a lot of the other smaller, medium sized ones canceled. So, I don't know, maybe Lee, he might open up a can of worms starting this truck show in 2021. But, appreciate him.
I'm excited.
There you go. I don't know what all that stuff's about, but, but we know, we couldn't do it without the sponsors. Again, I want to thank DPF Regeneration for helping us out with everything they're doing, and they're really excited about this radio show and the YouTube channel and all that. They sent us some information about that they've seen it, and they're checking up on us, and they see how we're doing, and they really like it. So we appreciate DPF Regeneration out there for keeping an eye on us and making sure we're doing okay and continue to our support from the get-go. So we appreciate DPF Regeneration. You can check those people out there. They're at dpfregeneration.com. And I thought I had their stuff pulled up, but I don't. But they're at, like I said, dpfregeneration.com. And you can give them a holler at 800-634-3010. And they do a lot of stuff. They do the filters. You know, we got the DPF systems in our truck. We got the EGR coolers and, of course, the particulate mufflers and all that stuff. And they do all that stuff. They do all those supplies of that. And they're getting into turbos and what do you call – what did they say? What was a charge air cooler? I keep forgetting the name of that. So the charge air coolers, and of course they've got the SCR units and the EGR coolers and the catalyst mufflers and all those systems that you might need. And they got them for all the trucks. If you got pickups, diesel engines, all different size diesel engines, they got all that stuff. So if you need information or supplies on that, give them a holler. And they know it's really cool because you say, you know, hey, I got a problem, I need this. Well, you know, send it to us, we'll send it back. And they go, well, I need help doing that. And they'll help you get in contact with other services and other shops close to you so you can get stuff worked on and everything. So it's they're good people over there. So appreciate their support and everything. And I don't know, we got more stuff going on. I was getting the word out a little bit on Facebook about us being on the show here, and a lot of people are saying they're trying to get called in. Of course, they just might be trying to get parked or things like that. So you never know what's going on. You know, that's the thing about truckers. You know, something's always going on, whether it be with trying to get online or trying to get the truck worked on or trying to get the load delivered. So you never know what's going on out there. So a lot of different things going on. We were talking about training. We were talking about forward-facing cameras. The Omnitrax released it on there. Another thing that I thought was real particular, it said that the agriculture is like booming. Like they can't even get enough drivers to haul agricultural products. And this was in the trucker.com. And it says that everything is being pulled back on the fragility of the nation's food supply chain as widespread closures of schools, bars, and restaurants put a hard stop on key customers for the nation's farm goods across the country. Producers are suddenly saddled with crops and animals they couldn't sell. And then it says reports of the produce of animals being destroyed shocked the public. 1 year later, the farm economy is facing an issue of another kind. Demand for farm products at home and around the world has lurched directly from neutral to high gear. Transportation issues are looming large in many farmers and ranchers' ability to get supplies in and get animals and produce out. And, well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people got put out of business because of this pandemic. And whether or not they were able to stay in business or keep things going, you never know. So now that everybody's saying, hey, where's my stuff? They can't find the drivers. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's just going to take some time for the drivers. I don't know. It's everything to me. It's a driver has to have a bank to buy a truck, or he has to have the cash on hand to buy the truck. Some people don't have that, so you got to rely on other sources to get financing or something done. That stuff falls apart. A lot of these companies say, that's not my problem, not my job. I don't know. But, you know, when what we see here, I think what we see, and Taylor, you probably agree with me, this is where people relied too much on the government and listened to the government way too much, and they realized that the government cannot solve everybody's problems with, let's shut things down and we'll pay for your stuff, and when things get going again, we'll pay for you to get back in business. And the government can't do it. They just can't do that stuff. They don't have the capacity or the what do you call it, the common sense to get that stuff done for the people that need it.
Crazy, man.
But because I mean, in my opinion, I think that a lot of people probably weren't, you know, I mean, let's just face it. None of us can stand to be out of work for a week or two, let alone a month or two, let alone 6 months. So you start finding out that you don't have the money put back. And I think what this pandemic has taught us, because it's taught us two different things. It's taught us that we need to be financially stable, because going onto a website for the federal government and asking for help, you're not going to get it. You're not always going to get it. And you're not going to get it. And even if you do get it, it's not enough time. It's going to be delayed, and you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. And also with our health. I mean, that's what I did. I learned that, you know, the hospitals and medical industry in this country, worldwide, whatever, they just simply don't know. They're shooting from the hip most of the time. You know, it's like, well, who's affected? Who's going to get the coronavirus? And what can we do to prevent it? Well, we don't really know. You know, but if you're more susceptible to this stuff, you might be. It's like, dude, what are we doing? You know, so you gotta maintain a healthy attitude throughout your life, because when it does hit the fan like this, you know, all bets are off. To me, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. But yep.
Guys, I hate to run on you all, but I gotta get going.
Anyway.
I appreciate y'all having me on.
No, it's been good. Yeah, it's been great. Like I said, we tell Lee don't be a stranger, and I've shared some stuff on his Facebook group, so everybody will be keep in contact with him over there and make sure he's doing all right and keeping up to date with everything. And we'll definitely keep up to date with Redneck and Eyes and stay abridged to what's going on with that. Like I said, as far as I know, that's the only show I know about that's, you know, in full swing. There might be some other little ones out there, but they're not advertising, so. but Taylor, man, shoot. Man, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate everything you're doing for us, and we appreciate Unplugged Radio Network.
Hey, no problem, brother. No problem at all, and I'll see y'all real soon. I'll get with you
good
sometime
deal.
This week here.
Sounds good. All right, man.
All right, Greg,
care,
Robbie,
bro.
Y'all
have
a good,
night
as well.
Taylor.
All right, Taylor. Hey,
you
take care, brother. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
I'll give you a call, wake you up tonight.
I think he stepped away. Yeah, he's gone already. All right, good deal. Well, yeah, fellas. I mean, we had actually come down pretty close to a good show here. You know, what time is it? It's 7:47. We usually end at about 8 o'clock. So, or not well, yeah. It's what 9 o'clock your time. 9 o'clock East Coast time is usually when the show wraps up. So it's just trickling along. So, what are your thoughts?
Think it's all good.
Good deal. Good deal.
What night was a real good show.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah, had a lot of fun. Had a lot of fun. It was great meeting Lee for the first time there. And
different when Lee was there and I was on there tonight. It wasn't the same old, you know?
Yeah. Well, the same old ain't that bad.
No, but I'm saying, you know, you get
no,
a lot of people.
Come on, man.
I'm like, hey.
It's not
bad talking
to me.
Information on our truck show that we didn't know about or wouldn't have known about if it hadn't been Taylor and him.
Yeah, no, I mean,
people just need to call him and talk.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's always hard to reach out to people to get them to talk. I mean, like you know, I do it too, and like I said, people got things to do, and they don't always get to where they can sit down and get on the phone with us here, you know, in a timely manner or whatever, and of course. The best thing is I don't want somebody's half attention just to call in and say hey and not do anything.
Right.
The best part is when people do call in, they're actually attentive to wanting to talk, and that's always a great thing. So, but I think it's great. I love it when people call in and want to be part of it, and you know, and of course we get Greg on a rant. That's always a good thing. So you know, hey, good show.
We didn't have Greg's rant this show, so it was, I'm going to say, okay show because Greg wasn't on his rant, so that always livens up everything, I think.
Well, there was a little one. You might not have been on when it came on, but there was a little rant.
No.
No, but yeah, it's always great to sit down and chat. And, you know, I don't know about y'all. Other drivers out there might disagree with me a lot of times. Sometimes we were talking about training earlier. We were talking about being with the student in the truck all the time and having to get away from the student. A lot of times you get out there over the road and you're by yourself and you're like, yeah, I talk on the phone and communicate and all that. But a lot of times you just want to sit and conversate with somebody in person. And you can't do that unless you go to the truck stops. And so that was always the cool thing about, like, when you go to a Petro and they had the area where only truck drivers were allowed to sit to eat dinner or whatever. And, I mean, tell you, man, there would be some fine yarns twinned from there. You know, they'd tell some stories sitting there drinking coffee, eating a meal and all that, and you can tell some good stories. Or just even in the driver's lounge watching TV, sometimes if you want to just watch TV, you can't because there's always somebody in there carrying on a conversation about something. You know, whether or not the truck broke down or the load got canceled or always something going on out there. And sometimes you just want to listen to other people talk like that. And it's kind of a keep you sane kind of thing. And sometimes you think things are going wrong. Go to a truck stop. If you think your life is going to hell, just go to a truck stop and sit and listen for a little bit. And you'll find somebody definitely worse off than you.
You know what I've always thought it was nice starting when the phone come along. Because the people that you can talk to on the cell phone on a nightly basis, daily basis, or whatever, you used to run into them people, you know, in person, and you talk to them. And then they'd always tend to start getting on your nerves, or you get on yours, but or theirs, whatever. But you could never get away from them, because if you tried to walk away from them, they followed you, and they kept it up.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get away from them. With the cell phone, like Robbie, I just hang up on him. Conversation's over.
The conversation's over, yep. It's a,
you call him back 2 days later and he forgot about what he was talking about, so then you start all over again.
Well, I was watching an episode of that Big Bang Theory, and I don't know if you guys watch that, but it's they're nerdy scientists, and the one guy, he has no social skills at all, and he has a girlfriend with no social skills. So part of their agreement is that if they're on the phone with each other and there's nobody speaks within like 15 seconds, then it's okay to hang up.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. But sometimes...
See, I get that quite a bit because Robbie's cell phone won't hold service over 15 seconds.
Dropping calls, right?
Hey, I've been on an hour and 23 minutes onto the show, so my phone's actually done pretty good.
Yeah, but you're sitting still at home.
Not necessarily. I've been walking around.
I guarantee you, if you go out there and get your pickup, you wouldn't get to the end of the street, you'd probably lose service.
Probably.
Robbie, that's why you're talking to him so much.
I'm telling
you.
Yeah.
I'll dish it back
Robbie, we're good.
Later this week or so.
We know how far we're
going. No one's got hurt. Nobody's gotten hurt yet.
Yep.
Yeah, right. We know how far we can go with each other.
Man to man.
All right, gentlemen,
I'm going to wrap the show up, Ben. I'm going to jump off of here. Sounds good. Yeah, appreciate you guys calling.
I'll give you a call or something evening this week when I get back out and you're out work and everything. I'll give you a call some night.
All right.
See what's
good,
going
on. Yeah, great.
All right.
Good deal.
Good with you, Robbie.
Have a good night.
Call when you go back to work.
All right, now.
All right.
All right, talk to you guys later.
No,
be careful.
Yep, good deal. Good deal. Appreciate everybody calling in tonight, having a great show, and just keep on keeping on. We appreciate getting out there, seeing everybody for the truck show, seeing everybody, staying safe, and just keep truck moving, building that brotherhood up. We appreciate everybody doing that. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. And get a hold of all our great sponsors out there, DPF Regeneration, Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app, and LTR, Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And we just appreciate all their support and everything. And we're looking forward to hitting them up again next year when all the big truck shows start up again. And, of course, we're going to definitely try to get out there to the American Truckers Jubilee. If y'all check that out, we'll have their Facebook page shared on our page, so you guys can get access to that. And get a hold of, if you need any more information, you can get a hold of Mr. Lee Owens, and all the information is on his Facebook page. And we appreciate him calling in and talking about it. And we look forward to having more conversation with him in the future. So until then, everybody out there, stay safe and stay successful. And you know, just always remember that there's a brotherhood of trucking looking out for you. And we'll all, if you need any help or support or just want to complain, there's always people out there, other truckers and everything. So get a hold of somebody, you know, because the trucking life is hard. And we just want everybody out there to enjoy it as much as we do. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got some great videos. We even got videos directed to four-wheelers talking about driving around big trucks and everything. So we'll definitely do that. Before we close off the show here, we've got one more call in. Let's see who we got. Well, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. You?
Oh yeah, doing great. We're actually everybody just kind of hung up because we were fixing to close her down and everything because we had a great show talking to Lee Owens over there at the American Truckers Jubilee. I don't know if you're aware of that one.
Oh no, I wasn't.
Yep.
I was trying to catch Lana's show about having kids in the truck.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a driver for 15 years and I'm single mother to a 12-year-old son. So he grew up in trucking and been taking him with me for probably on and off for 5 years now. So.
Okay. Okay. Great. Yeah. Yeah. She's on, what is it on Thursday night? I think it is or Wednesday night. I think it's Thursday night. No.
Oh, okay.
We try to get more stuff going on to this show here, but it's hard. You know, of course, everybody's just kind of doing what they do, and a lot of times they can't even get on at all.
We're just all truckers.
Exactly.
Right.
There you go. That's it. Yep, that's it.
Yep,
yeah,
we're
well,
all busy. All right, well, I'll let you go then. I just wanted to throw my input in there about it and everything, and you guys have a good night.
You too now. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, good deal. So, yeah, that's going to bring the show to a close, and I appreciate everybody for calling in. Appreciate everybody for hanging out with us and everything. Until then, stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.